Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Love that entrance, so big, massive Kanye West power. You are listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a 30 minutes we are set to have for you. You know why. You know the top stories. You know the big issues. It is VAR. It is Bournemouth. It is the Cherries. And Eddie Howe is not happy. His side treated harshly were his words. But what did you make of it? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And when it is the big stories and when it is the top sporting issues, we have to get the best man for the job. Delighted to say I am joined by the brilliant Alex Deutsch to tell us everything where the Cherries are concerned. Alex, we have to talk about VAR. We have to talk about the game. But I have to talk about something else first because we want to cover a whole host of issues. Number one, being you, my friend, being the big BBC star that you are, loving it up on an old Football Focus there.
Yeah, it was really good fun. A good opportunity. It was quite funny, really, because they had the brief was six fans from relegation clubs all talking about why they feel like their club's going to stay up. And really, when the camera stopped and you had the actual conversations, I don't think one person actually believed in what they were saying. So it was actually, the Norwich fan definitely did. The Norwich fan really believed they were staying up, but everyone else was kind of a bit, cautious about what they're saying, just in case it turned out to be an internet meme in a few months' time.
Yeah, very interesting. Really glad to see you on it, Alex. I felt quite proud. I'm still glad that you're joining us, though, little old us. You're here, there, and everywhere at the minute. Everyone wants your Bournemouth views. We have to get them now. Not just that you're saying the Cherries are going to stay up. We will come to that. But it was Burnley on the weekend. It was 3-0. But we know that that does not tell the whole picture, the whole storyline. A game filled with VAR incidents on what was Eddie Howe's return to Turf Moor. Alex, please, if you can, just sum it all up for us. What the hell happened?
Just, honestly, I had calmed down until I was just...
Until I gave you a call.
Again. Yeah, and then until I started thinking about it again. Do you know, I don't mind things going... I'm used to Bournemouth sort of being the sort of masters of their own downfall sometimes. Yeah, it's a Bournemouth hit. But what's really frustrating is that when technology is brought in order to clear up errors, and they actually make it worse. And when I say make it worse, I am going to go on a rant here, because VAR this year has really, really impacted my enjoyment of football. As a fan who goes to the games, I go to home and away games, I can't remember a goal that I've celebrated in the same manner that I have in any other seasons. I'm always hesitant to fully celebrate a goal. I've got, before, when a goal went in, you'd give a little look at the lino, give a little look at the ref. If everything was good, you'd go wild. Now I give a look at the lino, give a look at the ref, and then wait 2 minutes just in case, you know, back in 2003, you know, Brian Stock got caught offside. It's really, really impacting my enjoyment of the game. And I wouldn't mind if the decisions were consistent, but they're not. I've just finished watching the Liverpool game. There's a handball in that game. And it actually hits the part of the body that the offence describes. It hit his hand. So I don't understand how we, A, have a goal ruled off that's hit his shoulder. When you stop and you get a still, you can see it's hit his shoulder. And Adam Smith's one. The referee hasn't given it, and the winds were amazing. They were swirling, and the weather there was, you know, really, really tricky to play in. And the rule is that it has to be a deliberate handball. If you're trying to suggest that a guy 300 odd miles away watching on a screen can view what, even if it did hit slightly lower down on his shoulder than, you know, this imaginary line is, you can't deem that as deliberate. So I think it is impacting our game. It could cost us our place in the Premier League, and we can't blame it all on VAR. We didn't take our chances. We could have won that game. But when you're 1-0 down, and yeah, you've already had a goal wrongly ruled off for handball, and then you think you equalise, and only for the goal not only to be ruled off and it be given as a penalty to the other side. No wonder the belief went, and you saw the team deflate. And you know, it's just, you know, for me this year has been the least I've ever enjoyed football, and that's not just because we've not been particularly good. It's because even when we've been successful in putting the ball in the back of the net, I don't truly believe that I can celebrate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is such the sad thing, really, isn't it, Alex? And because I know, speaking to you every week, I know you don't just mean it in Bournemouth's plight. And I've heard it from fans of all clubs in the Premier League, whether they're at the top, they're at the bottom, they're middle of the road. You know, fans aren't happy with VAR, losing that moment. But genuinely, Alex, because obviously, knowing we do this show, knowing I was going to speak to you, watching that game on the weekend, I have never seen anything like it. And I mean, from the moment that Adam Smith, you know, obviously the handball, but Bournemouth breaking away, the brilliant work by Wilson actually taking that chance, scoring, then the goal being chalked off, coming back for a Burnley penalty, Bournemouth concede it, and then Burnley score. I've never seen anything like it. So for you and the Bournemouth fans, how was that 2 to 3 minutes of play? Because you think you've scored, but you're actually just awaiting to face a penalty.
Well, this is it. You think you score, and ordinarily you're 500 miles away from home. You're 500 mile round trip. Ordinarily, you score an equaliser anywhere that far away, and you go wild. But you don't, because really, you know that there's every chance that somewhere there's going to be a foul or a handball somewhere. Even if it happened, you know, 2 minutes ago. So it doesn't really impact the people who watch it on TV, does it, really? But it does impact the people who go there, and they live for those moments, and they live for the sound of the ball hitting the back of the net and falling down three rows of seats. And it's not happening anymore, and you notice it at the grounds. And I don't think they care, to be honest. I don't think they really care about the match going fans at all. I think, you know, they're not the guys who make them their money. I feel like VAR, if it was officiated properly, they need a team of referees. They're not just one looking at it. They need a team of referees looking at it, like they do in boxing. That Chelsea game, he's come out and said he's got it. They've got it wrong. Mm. So what's the point then?
We need VAR to look at VAR.
Precisely. So just honestly, just scrap it. And the most annoying thing is the goal that we conceded when Burnley played us at home and they won in the 88th minute. That came off his shoulder. And at the time, I had no complaints about it, because I believe it to be a real goal. There was nothing wrong with it. Mm. But for us to have a goal disallowed for it hitting the same part of the body, and a penalty given against us for the same part of the body, you know, you can feel a little bit hard done by. And what I'm hoping for is that the sort of anger there, I mean, the players are fuming. I think the entire club feel really hard done by. I feel like they feel like it's an us against them mentality, and hopefully we can use that, because, you know, our history suggests that Eddie can galvanise players when we're in this sort of situation. When we're, you know, 10 odd years ago, when we weren't allowed to sign any players, and when we could only name three players on the bench, and we had a huge points deduction, this is sort of what we thrive off, really. So what I'm hoping for is that anger gets channeled, and we've got Chelsea at home next week, and we've beaten them once before, and I'm just really hoping that it really, really spurs them on, because I know the fans are going to be up for it.
Yeah, obviously hoping that Chelsea game 4-0, hoping that we see a repeat there. Alex, I obviously have to talk about the other view and the other perspective. Really weird, just before the Bournemouth fans show tonight, we done the Burnley fan show and we'd have talked about this game for an hour.
We were a lot happier.
Well, to be fair, they were genuine and humble about Bournemouth, but they did believe, to the letter of the law, that it has hit his arm, so it is a handball, but they feel that, obviously, they understand Bournemouth coming from, that they can understand their aggrievements and they feel hard done by, but that it is a handball. And hearing on other fan shows and Love Sport Drive today that it is a handball, what do you make of it? Because for me, this is half the problem. We've got a set of fans who think that is handball, and then other set of fans who go, well, you know, it's the top half of his arm, his shoulder. Has he done it deliberate? Terrible, blustery, windy conditions. And that's the thing. In everything, in every decision in life, and from one referee's eye, it is all subjective.
Of course it is. But, if you know, the role of the referee is to make decisions based on what he sees. And we keep hearing the same words. Clear and obvious. If you need to get a ruler out and start measuring pixels of whether someone's offside or not, that's not clear and obvious. If you need to sort of ask someone to lift their arm up so we can measure from their bicep down to their hand, that's not clear and obvious, is it? So if you've got 50% of the fans saying that that's quite clearly an elbow, and you've got 50% of the fans saying, you know, that's a little bit lower, that not elbow, shoulder, that's a little bit lower than the shoulder, it's not clear and obvious, is it? And then you've got to add in the other sort of mitigating circumstance that it's not deliberate. How can you make that decision? You allow the referee to continue with, you know, his original decision, because you can't overturn it because it's not clear and obvious.
Yeah, it's such a tricky one. And what is it at the minute with Burnley? They've sort of seemingly got Bournemouth's number. I think the last four times you've played them, they've got the win over Bournemouth. That's their best run against any other team. And obviously returning for Eddie Howe, it's just Burnley have got the number on him as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't actually blame Burnley for anything that they did on Saturday. It's not, you know, it's not their fault. They didn't make the decision. In fact, I looked at the replay of the Billing goal, and not one of them claimed for the handball against Billing.
That was really telling, wasn't it?
Exactly, it was really telling. So I think that should be a minimum requirement in order to sort of trigger a VAR review. And maybe we need to look at a review system like, you know, in cricket, where you only get a few. And if you want to sort of ask the referee to go to VAR, you can do it. And if you don't, and if it turns out it's not right, then you know, you get penalised for it. But you know, Burnley are a good side, and it seems to be a competition with a lot of fans looking at Dyche and Eddie, and they say, well, it's constantly who's done a better job, Eddie or Dyche, Sean Dyche. I think they're both incredible managers. And I think they've both done amazing things for the resources they have. But you're right, at the moment, Sean Dyche seems to have the making of us. And that's quite, I think that's quite difficult for Eddie, to be honest, having obviously left there and been replaced. I think that's probably quite a sore subject.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Bournemouth and Burnley. We know that we need results. And where are they going to come from? We've had tweets into the show tonight. We're going to get to those and we're going to look towards that game with Chelsea. But a bit of hope for Bournemouth tonight. West Ham did lose, so Bournemouth still have a chance because West Ham could not pick up a result at Anfield.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Bournemouth Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with my co-host Alex Deutsch, talking everything where Bournemouth are concerned, talking about Bournemouth's form at the minute in the Premier League, and obviously their away form, because they have lost 8 of their past 9 away games in the Premier League, failing to score in 4 of the past 5. Could have been so different on the weekend. They had 2 disallowed goals, but what are you making of it? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Talking about, Alex, that away form, no away wins. Fans tweeting in to the show tonight. This tweet from Patrick Devitt saying, where are we snatching some away points from in order to stay up? Liverpool, Wolves, Man United, Man City, Everton are our remaining away fixtures. Please, Alex, give Patrick some hope.
Well, if you look at our results so far this season, they have actually come from unexpected sources. Really, we beat United at home, we beat Chelsea away, and we drew with Arsenal at home. So they, you know, I don't think anyone really expected us to get any points from them. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to, as another tweeter also put in, I just had a look a second ago. I fancy us for United away. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. And I fancy us to get something against Tottenham at home. And the others could be a bit of a mismatch between, you know, hopefully catching Leicester on an off day. Palace, you know, we've beaten them in the past. It was a pretty close game. We lost with 10 men in the away fixture. So I'd go to every game thinking we can get something. You know, Liverpool today, I think it could be a case of West Ham actually making them look a little bit shaky today. But you know, they've shown that they are human, and that they, you know, they can concede goals. So yeah, yes, we got 11 rounds left. We're still out the relegation zone at the moment. So we can only just really just take it a week at a time, and you know, big game on Saturday against Chelsea, and they'll take belief that they've already beaten them once before.
What a result that was. We'll come to that game, but you mentioned in that West Ham game tonight, obviously losing to Liverpool, and all what we're talking about, the poor away form, the VAR on the weekend, this is still a Bournemouth side, regardless of all that, 2 points out of the relegation zone. So it is still in their own hands, their own destiny, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, I refuse to write us off. The remaining fixtures, there are some absolute shockers in there. Bournemouth fans can be forgiven to look at those remaining fixtures and think, you know, where on earth are we going to get our points from? But as before, the game against Burnley, I think Bournemouth fans, it's an interesting one actually, because we lost pretty heavily against Burnley, didn't we? But there was a general feeling after the game from social media and everything like that, that the fans weren't angry at the players this time. They weren't, there was a real unity there that, I thought personally that we played really quite well for at least the first half. We made lots of chances. We should have done better with them. You've got to take some heart from, you know, from the chances we're creating. This siege mentality, this us against them, it can only really work in our favour, because that historically that's what's made us get to this position.
Yeah, and also, Alex, what we've spoken upon, you know, doing this show, the whole host of injuries that Bournemouth have had, none more so than obviously Brooks. We know he's back in training. Ryan Giggs has kind of been out saying the March friendlies, internationals are too soon for him, but looking at obviously the Euros and so on and so forth, what are you making of Brooks, and can he play a part now, and how soon can we see him?
It's so tricky because I don't want to put undue pressure on a young kid who has had one brilliant season for us. And I'm not exaggerating. He is one of the most naturally gifted players I've seen play for Bournemouth. Every bit of me wants to go, this guy is going to be our saviour. This guy is going to put three past Liverpool, and you know, we're going to be very comfortable in the end. But I can't, because he is young, and it can be, you know, quite damaging to a player's confidence and morale to boost a player as much as that, and pin an entire club's survival on a young player coming back. I think we have to look at also, you know, Lewis Cook. I know it's a completely different injury, but Lewis Cook came back from his ACL injury, and he hasn't quite got running yet, and he hasn't quite the games that he's played, he hasn't quite had that same spark that he had before his injury. And there's always a danger when someone's been out for as long as David Brooks has, that it's going to take a little while to get him back into the flow. But he'll be desperate to get to the Euros. He'll be desperate to make up for lost time, and that can only be good for us, because, like I said, on his day, he can just be the difference to us.
Yeah.
He's massive.
We know how big he is. We don't want to put that undue pressure on him, but we know of the impact he's had, and we can't really argue with facts. Bournemouth have had a number of injuries, you know, affect them this season, and two of the games where they're going to need those players, Cherries fans won't want to look at that schedule, but it is Chelsea and Liverpool next. Chelsea up first at home. Good memories of this one. We know what happened last year. Can we hopefully lightning strike twice, Alex?
I don't see why not. I think you can. It'd be a pretty dark place to go into every game thinking you haven't at least got a chance. Yeah. They are not invincible. They have some wonderful footballers, but I do think that actually they've kind of come to us at a difficult time for them because of just how outraged we are from the last game. And just how fired up I think we'll be. The players will be desperate for a double over them because we don't have too many opportunities to get a double over teams this season. And it would be a huge 3 points for us because it'd be three points that actually no one's really expecting us to get. I think I'm going into that game with a lot of hope. Particularly when they're playing at Dean Court, and the last few games the atmosphere has been rocking, and we've put on some really really good performances.
Yeah, we know how important the home form can be and how different it's been to the away form. But you said why not? We have to go into every game believing. And what is really just the root of all that belief, Alex? Because even as you said on the weekend when you was making that appearance, you were saying you still believe that Bournemouth can beat the drop. What is the root of that?
I think the root of that for me is Eddie. Like I said earlier, I think this isn't really pressure for him. You know, when we were in League Two and we did have this situation where in reality Eddie was told that if he took us down, that's really the end of the club. There was no way we'd have survived, and the club would have dissolved, and that would be it. And I would be finding something else to do with my Saturdays. And that's where I'm taking my belief from. And you know, Bournemouth fans can. There's a bit of a thing where Bournemouth fans are sort of saying, "Well, forget about the past and let it go. We're in the Premier League now, and that was so long ago, and you can't just keep looking back. But you can only really draw your beliefs and your knowledge based on things you've experienced, and you can't underestimate just how much pressure that club was under at that time. And I don't know if there are any other managers in the bottom six that can draw upon the same experience as what Eddie had there, and to do so with such little resources. We have much, we're much richer with resources now, and we've got, arguably better players. And it's now up to Eddie to like I said, draw on those experiences and really create that same environment that we had when we were so up against it.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive game on the weekend. Just quickly then for you, Alex, score prediction.
1-0 Bournemouth, go on.
You love to see it. That's how I want to end the show, Alex. I never had no doubt for any second. Always a pleasure to be joined by you. And I really hope that you get that and the Cherries fans, because after the weekend, all the VAR, the nonsense, wouldn't it be fitting that they beat Chelsea again 1-0, 3 points, a clean sheet, 2 points above those places. It's going to make for a very interesting game and a very interesting show next Monday on the Bournemouth Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and my co-host Alex Deutsch. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.